Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 119. We are wrapping up this series. Lord willing, next week we will finish that. Tonight we'll look at verses 153 through 168. I'd like for us to start, if we could tonight, in verse 160. It says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Truth and endurance. That's really the opposite of us, isn't it? In our natural state. We are liars, false, if you will, and we're certainly not enduring. We're not everlasting. We're very temporal. Your life is but a vapor, appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. However, the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more our lives conform to Him, then the more truthful we become. And by conforming our lives to Him through, obviously, salvation and sanctification, we also are becoming eternal. We are eternal when we get saved. So we, through the Word of God, are transformed into that which the Word of God is, truth and endurance. What are some characteristics of someone who is a lover of God's Word? What are those characteristics and what will they look like? That's what we want to look at tonight, if we could, for a few minutes here. And I want you to see this thought. You must allow the Word of God to impact every facet of your life. So many times people allow the Word of God to impact compartments of their life. I remember one time a family member was in a pretty serious car wreck. And we said to him, "Do you think God was trying to get your attention?" And he said to us, "What did God have to do with that?" As if that was, it didn't happen on a Sunday, and so therefore that compartment of my life has nothing to do with God. But the Word of God should be impacting us in every way. And I hope that you'll see that tonight. So we're going to try to quickly move through about eight things tonight, but hopefully we're not going to be here real long. We've tried to streamline the service a little bit tonight and next week. We've purposely done that. There's a lot happening tonight and next week as well. There's a lot of people here. You're here a long time, so we're trying to give you a little bit of break there as we get ready for those busy weekends. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we need you tonight as we do every time we step in this pulpit. The truth is we need you just to survive in life. Can't breathe without you. Can't speak without you. Lord, you know the frailties of our flesh, those that are listening and I that's speaking. So we need you tonight. And we pray that you'll bless your word as you've promised to do. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. I want us to see first off a characteristic of one who is a lover of God's word will be they are rescued. They are rescued. 153, if you would please. "Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law." Verse 157. "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies." Now, not all suffering and affliction are punitive. In other words, God's not always punishing us when some things happen. Sometimes what's being opposed to us is trying to get us off track. It's trying to get us to not do what's right. It's trying to get us derailed from what God would have us to do. And he says here, "Lord, I don't forget your law," in 153. And in 157, he says, "I do not decline from thy testimonies." So though I am being pressed on every side, though things are happening, I'm not allowing those things to deter me. in many Christian circles today, sickness is considered to be incompatible with spirituality. If one were right with God, he would not be ill. If one had sufficient faith, there would be instant and miraculous healing. I've always thought it interesting that those men and women, I was trying to figure out what exactly to call them, who espouse that, all of them eventually die. And I'm not trying to be unkind, and I'm not trying to judge them. I'm going by what they say. They claim that you can lose your salvation if you don't have enough faith. They also claim that if you don't have enough faith, then you won't be healed. So any of them that dies are doomed, based upon their logic. That would be a rough way to live, wouldn't it? I've got some family that believes that. They don't like me to ask them that question, because they don't know what to answer it. Don't let opposition turn you back. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. People aren't going to like it that you are going to stand for God's truth. Do you turn from God because of what others do to you? He said, I've got persecutors. I've got people that are resisting me. But I'm not going to forget your testimonies. I'm not going to decline from them. I'm going to keep doing what's right regardless of what people do to me and what's happening around me. So a person that's a lover of God's word will be rescued. Number two, a person that's a lover of God's word will be refreshed in the word. 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. 159, consider how I love thy precepts, quicken me. You getting the idea here of what the writer's trying to say? Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. We talked last time we were in Psalms 119 that nine different times that word alone is used in this chapter. It means to be made alive. Doesn't God's word bring a new perspective on things? It helps us to refocus on what's really happening. It tells us, well, wait a minute, you're looking at that wrong. But what about this? What does God's word say? And it brings a freshness to us that we would not have otherwise. If we spend time in it, obviously. That's going to be important for us. The more it meets your needs, the more you'll love it. The more you get into it when you're struggling, and the more it refreshes your soul, the more you can't wait to get back to it again. You ever maybe been in a location, I don't know how many of you have been, somewhere where you were really thirsty and you couldn't get water. Maybe you were in a desert or in a jungle or whatever, and you finally got a source of water, and it was so refreshing. And then what did you want to do? You wanted to go back to that, didn't you? Go back and get some more. Get a little bit more. Get a little bit more. I remember in the jungles of the Philippines, we actually were drinking from vines. I'd seen in movies, you know, these guys whacking the vines off and water dripping on. And I'm like, how does three drops of water really help them? You know, but it was amazing that it really did. It was concentrated water. You'll get that in a few minutes. Just add water to it and it works good. But it was refreshing and you wanted to come back to it. The Word of God is that way. It's refreshing. It refreshes us. Does reading God's Word give you that alive feeling? I didn't think I could go through this day. I thought I was whooped before I ever got out of bed. I know none of you feel that way. And the alarm goes off and you go, you know, is it really that time already? You know? I'm not sure I can get through this day. But the Word of God is such a refreshing thing for us. Number three, not only is a character of those who love God, the characteristics of those rescued and refreshed in the Word, but they're redeemed by the God of the Word. He says in verse 155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Verse 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. God's word offers us salvation. Now, obviously we know that there is eternal salvation. We learn that from God's word. But there's also salvation in all kinds of other aspects, whether it be perhaps going down a path that the word of God says, hey, I don't think that's the right way to go, and it turns us around, or whatever it may do to rein us back in our thinking and so forth and so on. John Phillips says, there are none so blind as those who will not see. Some people come to the word of God and they will not see its truths. Don't allow that to be what's going to happen in your lives. But is your salvation evidenced by your obedience to the word of God? Do you obey it when you're confronted with it? And can people see that in your life? That'd be one of the ways that you know that. So they're redeemed by God's word. Number four, they're repulsed by sin. Verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. Why was he grieved? Because they kept not thy word. Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. The word grieve means to loathe or to feel a disgust for, to abhor. The word abhor is a different Hebrew word, but it basically means that same thing. It's not just a dislike, but it is a sick feeling. A proper view of sin only comes as we get to know God and His Word. We're not going to have a proper view of sin by studying the world, because their view of sin is totally different. Matter of fact, their view of sin, they're going to call you wrong for living what's this book. Your natural tendency is going to be to call right wrong and wrong right. That's what you naturally lean toward. It is this book that corrects our thinking. It tells us, wait a minute, you can't think that way. Does sin bother you? Does it really bother you? Does it just bother you in others? Or does it bother you in you? Are you really repulsed by your own sin? It's pretty easy to be repulsed by other people's sin, isn't it? Because after all, their sin is much worse than yours. Is it that the way we think many times? But God doesn't view it that way. Which one of those sins is worse to you? Is it your pride that's disgusting, or is it the other person's pride that's more disgusting? So, characteristic of those who are a lover of God's word will be repulsed by sin. Number five, they will have a reverence of the word. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Better to fear God's word than to fear man. We know that the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:25 that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, it's really not difficult to do something you love to do. If you love to do it, it's not difficult to do. My children and grandchildren start arriving on Tuesday. You don't have to convince me to be home, to be with them. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for that time. You get to spend Tuesday with some of them and then all day Wednesday with just about all of them. Becca and Ben won't be here, but otherwise, I'm looking forward to that. Christmas is coming. We're going to have 17 at our house Christmas morning. Now, most of you, all of you just about have been in my living room. We've had 17 in there before. Matter of fact, we've had about 40 in there. How many remember that night it rained at my house? We packed in the living room. It was kind of a fun night. It was a smelly night, but it was a fun night. But Christmas morning, we're going to have 17 in there. You know what? I can't wait. You don't have to convince me that this is going to be terrible. I'm looking forward to it. I bet you guys are looking forward to the 12th of December, aren't you? 13th. See, they got it down. Matt and Katie are coming with Elliot. That's how I was getting to it, brother. I should have mentioned Elliot and Carolyn first. That's right. Looking forward to it. You don't have to convince them. Matter of fact, yesterday I was going to offer to go pick them up at the airport. I didn't figure I'm going to get that chance. When you genuinely love to do something, it's not difficult to do it. So do you reverence God's word? Do you stand in awe of it? One of the most intriguing verses to me in Scripture, there are many of them, by the way, but one of them is when God says in His word in Psalms chapter 136 that He has exalted His word above all His name. That's an incredible statement. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. At the name of Jesus, the Jews are going to be born in a day. A nation will be born in a day. At the name of Jesus, at His very sight, the mountains are going to flee away and so forth and so on. And yet He said, above that, I've exalted My word. That means this book is pretty important, isn't it? You stand in awe of. Is it your final authority? Is this book your final authority? What God tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Number 6. They rejoice in the word. Psalms 119 verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. The word rejoice means to display joy, to be exalted in the word. Do you display that? This is an outward display of what's happening to you internally from the word of God. You ever had something really exciting happen to you? I mean, really exciting, where you wanted to jump up and down. Most of the time, those things are temporal things. Anybody ever play these games at restaurants where you peel off the little thing and look underneath it and all that kind of stuff? Anybody ever do that? Hey, about 6 of you. Okay, the rest of you are asleep. So the rest of you throw them away in the trash. You don't peel them off, right? Or look under the bottle cap or whatever. You just throw those away. I mean, it's okay. You can smile. It's not that bad, I don't think. In Florida, years ago, we would twist the bottle caps off of real bottles. You know, the ones that actually have some weight to them. You know, Coke actually tastes different in those, by the way. They claim it doesn't, but I'm sorry. It does taste different. But anyway, we would peel those off, and then you could take a little knife and pop out the little rubber piece, and underneath it were different things. And what you had to collect was rides to Disney World. Well, the ride that you wanted was Space Mountain, because that was the ride. And so we're going to a convenience store. My dad, my brother, and I, we're mowing grass. And I don't remember which one of us. My brother will probably claim it was him, just because that's the way he is. But one of us peeled back the bottle cap, and it was Space Mountain. And we knew we had hit it big. So then we're scrambling. What did it mean? What does it mean? Everybody's talking about you get the bottle cap Space Mountain, but what did it mean? So, man, we grab the pamphlet and we start scouring through it. And at first we thought it meant $100,000. And we were like, whoa! I mean, my dad was excited, my brother and I, we were excited. And then we kept reading and we thought it was only going to be a T-shirt. Now, I want to tell you, that is a letdown. $100,000 for a T-shirt. You're like, really? Those things are nowhere near. Well, my dad finally said to us, the Coca-Cola bottling company wasn't far from us. He said, I tell you what, why don't we just drive over there? and turn the bottle cap in and find out what they're going to do for us. So we did. We jumped in the truck, took off to the bottle, the Coca-Cola bottling company, went in there, said, "We have Space Mountain." They're like, "Ooh, that's a big deal." We're like, "Really? Not a t-shirt, right?" We got a, I think it was a 3-night, 4-day, I don't remember all the details, all expenses paid trip to Disney World. I'm talking fancy motel, VIP treatment. I got my picture with Mickey Mouse. That's a big deal. In front of the castle. Yeah, that was a cool deal, man. You know? All, I mean, everything paid for. Steak dinners in restaurants. It was really neat, you know. And we were telling everybody. I mean, anybody that asked us, we're telling them, "Hey, we got Space Mountain." And people would say to us what most of you have thought before. Nobody ever really wins them things, you know. Well, we did. We won one. You know what? We were rejoicing in that as if we had found a great spoil. That's what God says it ought to be when we open the Word of God. The problem is, we're so used to this that it no longer excites us. But there are people in India who don't have a copy. That's what Brother Tim's got a passion for. When I was in Africa 15 years or so, 13 years ago, I preached in churches where the pastor of that church had never read a copy of the Old Testament. He didn't know what the Old Testament said. Do you know how much of the New Testament wouldn't make a whole lot of sense without that Old Testament stuff? He didn't have a copy of it. So in the morning when you wake up and you get a fresh day, or whenever you spend time in God's Word and you approach it with, "Okay, let's get this over with so I can go do what I really want to do today." We do that sometimes, don't we? Rejoice in the Word. How often do you rejoice that you even have a copy of God's Word? He says in verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Do you praise the Lord 7 times a day? For his righteous judgments? One guy said, there's an easy way to do that. When you wake up in the morning, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. For general things, but Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Then when you're having your devotions in the morning, you can praise Him for the Word of God. That's 2. You have 3 meals a day, at least most of you do. That's 5. In your family devotions, you can praise the Lord that you have a copy of God's Word. That's 6. When you lay your head in the pillow at night, praise God for the Word. That's 7. Now, that's not what this means in the Hebrew, that those are the 7 times. I'm just saying that's a good way to be able to do that. The point is, we're supposed to be praising God for it. Not just this week. Though this week's a good week to do that. Nothing wrong with setting aside a particular day to do that. Thursday morning, we'll get up. It's tradition for us. We get up, we cook a can of cinnamon rolls. If you help make them, that's fine. I love canned cinnamon rolls. I love canned biscuits. It's just fine. So that's what we do. We get around the living room, and we just praise the Lord. Go around the room. Okay, what are you thankful for? Characteristic of God. And we'll go around the room, you know, till we run out of characteristic. Well, not really. We finally cut it off because we'd be doing that all day. What about this one? It's a fun day to just praise the Lord for. Number 7, they rest in the Word. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Much and abounding peace to those who love God's Word. Nothing's going to make you stumble. That's what nothing shall offend them means. Nothing's going to trip you up when you spend time in this book, when you love God's law. Do you let the peace of God be your umpire, your ruler, to control what you're thinking? And so when you get all in an uproar over this particular event that's happening, and yet the Word of God says, wait a minute, I've got that under control. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. But Lord, what about this? I know what I'm doing. I'm not failing on the job. I hadn't forgot about you. Sun's going to come up tomorrow unless I supernaturally tell it not to. And, you know, do you allow God's peace to really rule your heart? Number 8, they regarded God's word. Verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. They obey God's word. And we have said that almost every message. You're like, we keep going through these sections, and somewhere in there it talks about obeying God's word. Well, you say, you keep saying the same thing, Pastor. Well, as long as the Bible keeps saying the same thing, I'm going to keep saying the same thing. It's important. God says it doesn't do us any good if we're not obeying it. We have to do what it tells us to do. It says at the very last statement there, for all my ways are before thee. All my ways are before thee. Job chapter 34 and verse 21 says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his doings. When I'm watching a football game or something, I don't typically watch commercials. I usually fast forward through them or whatever. Today, I happened to catch one. I woke up, I'm getting a little catnap in between two. That's because the football team I'm watching currently is really not worth watching. So I'm sleeping some and through the process. But anyway, it's this little kid, and he says, I'm a General Destructo guy. And he says, I love tearing things up. And he said, but my mom and dad just bought this camera. And he said, I'm vexed by it. He said, I don't even know what vexed means, but I'm that. You know, it was something along those lines. I don't remember the exact words of it. But they're advertising this little camera that you could put in the room, and it follows everything that's going on so mom and dad would know what's going on. You don't need a camera, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Doesn't matter where you go, God's there. And he says, I have kept thy precepts, because after all my ways are before thee anyway. Whatever is happening, you already know it. You're not hiding it from God. He already knows. Isn't it interesting to try to communicate that to children? You know, God knows everything. You can't hide in the bedroom. What if I close my door? Turn off my light? I remember our kids saying, what if we close the blinds? No, God can see through the blinds. He's got that covered, you know. But we laugh at the kids doing that, but we really think that way, don't we? I mean, if we don't, then why do we do this? Why do we go? Why do we hit the brake when the policeman's all of a sudden there? I love it. I set my cruise control, then you don't have to worry about it. And I love when people come, you know, flying, they're coming by you, and all of a sudden, boom. And what's even funnier is that they go slower than the speed limit. And so I'm passing them like, how you guys doing? What are you afraid of, you know? But why are we just slowing down when he's there? If it's wrong to speed, wait a minute. I should be done because I've gone to Medlin now, right? Yeah, it's 7:05. I ought to be done. But if you believe it's wrong to do, isn't it wrong to do whether a policeman's there or not? It's what you're supposed to be teaching your kids. See, God can see all those things. And a person who is a lover of God's word, regards God's word, they want to do what's right. How obedient are you to his word? So is God's word impacting your everyday life? I mean, is it impacting everything that you do? When you go to work, when you drive down the road, when you interact with whoever it is that you're interacting with, your post office person or the guy that's coming to change out the gas meter at your house or whatever it may be, are you thinking about and how is God's word impacting in this process? We had supper Thursday night with Brian and Molly. on our way down to Jason's graduation. And to be honest, it was horrible service. I mean, really bad. I don't think the food was ever right. It might have been, but I don't think it was. We finally gave up and just kind of ate what, you know. And it was a long time before we got our food as well. And but then we had a choice to make. We're going to leave a tip? Or are we going to leave a good tip? Did the service deserve a good tip? Really didn't. But I also was planning to leave a track. And that deserved a good tip. Because I doubt she's going to be more impressed with the track if she's looking at a 50-cent tip, which is probably what it deserved. And the cook probably deserves something like that too, you know. How does the Word of God impact everything? Or do we compartmentalize? Well, that part of my life, it's okay for God's Word to impact, but that part, let's leave that alone. I'm okay to be honest when I'm dealing with church people, but when I'm dealing with my business partners, that's a little bit different. I've actually talked to good businessmen who've said that to me. Well, you don't quite understand. See, you can fudge a little bit because that's just the way they do business. So it's okay to lie in business. It's the Word of God impacting your life in everything. It's really important that it do so. Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you that we have the privilege of reading it. That means sometimes, more often than I'd like to admit, that it's going to correct me. And so I pray that you'd help us to be obedient to your Word. We sure thank you that you've preserved a copy for us that we can get a hold of. May even this week, with all kinds of things happening, with time off work and school and family perhaps getting together or whatever's going on, may we allow the Word of God to impact every area of our life. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.